If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring in you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union member today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.
Hi, I'm Casey Seiler, editor of the Times Union, and you're back at another episode of the podcast we are calling Nexium on Trial, which was a name that we selected back when Keith Raniere, the leader of the shadowy cult-like organization known as Nexium, was approaching trial and on trial. Now he, of course, has been convicted on all charges against him for more than a year. Perhaps we need to come up with another podcast name, but we'll stick with this one for right now. And I am happy to be joined by Rob Gavin, who covered Raniere's trial gavel to gavel for the Times Union in federal court in Brooklyn, and continues to examine what might be referred to as the embers of the Capital Region-based organization that had tentacles all the way out in Vancouver, in Mexico, and elsewhere around the world. Rob, I've got to tell you that the prospect of a story about a dance rally outside the federal lockup in Brooklyn was not one on my Nexium bingo card. So if you could please explain to our listeners exactly what is going on and the story that you were alerted to last week.
Thanks so much, Casey. It's good to be back here talking about this. I got a tip last week from somebody I know who is aware of all things Nexium and checked it out. And the tip was that disciples of Keith Raniere, the leader of Nexium, who's now, since his arrest in 2018, has been held in the Brooklyn Metropolitan Detention Center, which is known as the MDC in Brooklyn. And that is where he's been. And as far as we know, he's there. It's a federal facility where there's not a lot of room to do a whole lot of things. Not any visitors have been allowed in the MDC during the coronavirus pandemic, which is one of the reasons why his sentencing has been delayed. But there have been visitors to the parking lot of the MDC dancing with a group called We Are As You, which, if you look at this group on Instagram, if you look at the group on Twitter, if you look at the group on Facebook, you won't see any direct connection that says Keith Raniere or Nexium or ESP, which stood for Executive Success Programs, the other name for Nexium. But what you will see are a number of familiar faces to anybody who has followed Nexium, including Nikki Klein, who people may remember as an actor on the TV series, the new TV series of Battlestar Galactica. And you may recognize her as well from the trial as what was known as a quote-unquote first-line slave in the group we now know as Dominus Obsequious Sororium, or The Vow. This was the secret master slave group within Nexium in which women were physically branded by someone using a cauterizing pen who inscripted Keith Raniere's initials. The person who did that inscribing was a doctor by the name of Danielle Roberts. She's also one of the dancers outside the MDC, and she's doing backflips, dancing. There are a number of other people, including at least one woman who was also identified as a slave of DOS at the trial. There are a number of familiar faces of Nexium members who were attending the trial and openly supporting Keith Raniere there. So how did I find out about this? Well, I get this tip from someone who I know who follows this stuff on the West Coast. And this person reaches out to me. I go online, I see it, and I'm just like, whoa, what's going on here? Because it's not like the people within Nexium are going well out of their way to hide who they are. It's clearly Nikki Klein. It's clearly Danielle Roberts. It's clearly some of the other people. And we identified some of them in the story. I reached out to Mark Vicente, who was one of the star witnesses at Raniere's trial. He was a very high-ranking member of Nexium. And he is a member, one of the people that really got the case going against Raniere, because when Mark Vicente turns
that's part of the downfall for Nexium. At one point, Vicente was so deeply entrenched in Nexium that Ranieri once suggested to him that he could be the successor, the next vanguard, so to speak. So this was a very high-ranking, well-placed person. Mark Vicente told me he immediately recognized at least 11 or 12 people there among the leaders of the dancers. He starts rattling off names of Nexium people within the just the people following. And just the way Instagram works, you know, as you're watching a video, you see people leaving messages, putting hearts, thank you, way to go. And that, to quote Mr. Vicente, and I had the same thought myself watching it, was basically a who's who of everybody in the world of Nexium. You have people like Edgar Boone, who was a very high-ranking member of Nexium. He's on there. You have his wife, Vanessa. She's on there.
They're basically offering support for the social media posts that the dance rally participants are putting up.
Correct. They're on there, and it's sort of like a way to go. And it's all, supposedly in the name of, we're going to provide a little bit of entertainment and fun for these people who are locked up and risking coronavirus in federal jail. Now, to the outside person, they may say, hey, that's kind of a nice thing. You're trying to do your part. But the more you look into it, you will see that the vast majority of the people on there, not all, because there are some people that, we don't know, some people see it and come in there and they have a family member there and they want to support them. But the vast majority of the people we're seeing on that list are former Nexium members, former Nexium supporters, and signs on the video, very large signs that say, we love you, K. Rose.
K-A-Y, K. Rose. You went to the federal prisoner lookup for searching for a K. Rose, and there is no one by that name in federal custody, not only in Brooklyn, but not anywhere in the federal system, correct?
Nowhere in the United States federal prison population is there a person by the name of Kay Rose. But as it turns out, there is someone with those initials in the MDC whose initials are K for Keith and R for Ranieri. When I spoke to not only Mark Vicente, but I spoke to the attorney, Neil Glazer, who's the attorney for the group of former Nexium members and Nexium victims who are suing the organization in a civil suit filed last winter, he immediately said, no, that's for Keith Ranieri. And everyone I've spoken to, some publicly, some who didn't want to be quoted, who are familiar with the case, have said, oh yeah, that's Keith Ranieri. There's no two ways about that. What's interesting is some of the language the supporters are using are also keys to it. Someone at one point cheering on the dancers said, way to go, SOP. Now, SOP was the Society of Protectors, one of the many groups under the umbrella of Nexium. This was sort of a men's group within Nexium. So most people seeing that might just think it's a random acronym. It's not. That's a clear giveaway that this is Nexium.
So on their social media posting, there's a phone number that they give for people who might be interested in taking part. You called that number and did not get very far in getting answers as to whether or not there was any connection to Nexium, at least as far as the person who answered the phone was concerned.
Correct. I called up the number and asked how I would go about sending a media quest, asked for some questions, and the person on the other end of the phone, this was a woman answered and said, here's an email you can send it to. It was at We Are As You, and gave me the information. But I had some questions, so I asked if this was an organization that was it there for one person or was it there for a whole group? And she said, oh no, we're just sort of here for the people inside to sort of help them out. And then I asked, is there any connection between this group, We Are As You, and the group known as Nexium, or Keith Ranieri specifically? And this is where it got really interesting. Now, the person responds that didn't say no, said, this is really just entertainment for people inside by the friends and family. And there was no recognition of what I had said. There was no recognition. There was no, what are you talking about? Who? I mean, this is a group, keep in mind, in Brooklyn. As much as we'd like to think everybody in the world knows about NXIVM and Keith Raniere. You have to think it's not something at the forefront of everyone's minds, you know. So when someone says, are you connected to NXIVM and Keith Raniere? If you're not connected to Keith Raniere and NXIVM, one would think your immediate response would be, what are you talking about?
How dare you connect us to that rascal? Yes,
exactly. Yeah, like, who do you mean? And there was a very measured response. It was almost like the person was waiting for me to ask that question and had a very specific response of, oh, well, this is really just entertainment. It was almost like a press release response. Like, there's been preparation waiting in case this question is asked. I thought that was very interesting, because once someone asks that question, if someone really wants to know if a certain inmate is there and you are there for all the inmates there, you might think they might just say, hey, we're here for all the inmates. Oh, is he an inmate here? Well, if he is, well, then yes, we are here for him. Because
what a remarkable coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it says. They, in their literature, they wanted people to come and, quote unquote, dance peacefully and joyfully for all the prisoners. And what's fascinating about this name of, you know, we are as you, is that Mark Vicente told me this is a very familiar name. He said back, some years back in Mexico, there was a project Keith Raniere had led. And that group had a name, a very, very similar name. That had a name which he said was, you are my other me. And, you know, he sort of sniped at them, saying they have not updated their strategies in 12 years. Either Raniere is directing them from prison, disconnected from their source, or they are using very old tactics.
You noted in the story that Mark Vicente was rather upset to see that in some of this group's social media posting, they're using the Black Lives Matter hashtag.
Correct. They're using the Black Lives Matter hashtag. And Mark Vicente was concerned, because here you have a group that literally has masters and slaves, and you have members of your organization who have agreed to literally become slaves for someone in Keith Raniere who's a convicted pedophile. You know, Mark Vicente says, imagine what Black Lives Matter would think if they found out this was a cover for a white convicted pedophile sex slaver. It is highly offensive. You know, you have a group which is trying to portray themselves as this human rights led organization to help people out, and you have people who have agreed to become slaves in a case which has led to a conviction on numerous counts, including sex trafficking, who are part of it. And a lot of people, if they join the dancing, there's a serious question of whether they even had any idea of that, because it's not like the people dancing are disclosing their link to NXIVM openly. It's not on the website. It's nowhere to be seen. It's just sort of this, you know, you need to be someone, you know, like me or you or someone familiar with Keith Raniere and NXIVM to even know what it is. And then the word of mouth has gotten around. So there are people now on the Instagram thread who are now mentioning, in fact, one person actually dropped the link of our story into the Instagram thread. And there's been some references by the NXIVM supporters on there referring to quote unquote haters, and this is all about love. And there's been a bit of a recognition that they've been outed as supporters, continued supporters of Keith Raniere.
Yeah. Well, here at the Times Union, we don't hate, we educate, to use the old expression. Just to bring people kind of up to speed on other aspects of the case at this point, Keith Raniere's sentencing has been delayed by the coronavirus crisis. The argument that his attorneys have made is that they are unable to visit with him in person. So there is currently no date for Keith Raniere's sentencing, but he faces up to life in prison, correct?
Correct. Keith Raniere he's now 59 years old. He's facing a sentencing for racketeering, sex trafficking, forced labor traffic. You have to think that any sentence less than a life sentence, whether that is literally a life sentence or if that's so many sentences that it is a life sentence just by mathematics remains to be seen. But it would be nothing less than a shock if he's not sentenced to a term that would basically be, you know, a life in prison. And that's absolutely correct. You know, and that's really the thing about this. There is a serious issue at the MDC and all federal prisons with coronavirus. The MDC does not allow visitors anymore because there was a coronavirus presence in the prison there, as there have been in many federal prisons. So there is a legit issue there, and it actually did affect Keith Raniere because Mark Agnifilo and the other attorneys for Raniere haven't been able to see him. And an attorney needs to be able to see their clients and meet with them in order to prepare for pre-sentencing report and sentencing memo so they can put their arguments forth. It's interesting, and I mentioned this in our last podcast, Judge Nicholas Gouroufis had said leading up to June 23rd, there will be no more delays. He was tired of the delays in this case and said this is going to be a sentencing no matter what. And that changed because all of a sudden, you know, Raniere is no longer willing to be sentenced virtually, and the pandemic has made it impossible for his attorneys to meet with them. So now it is indefinite. Every once in a while, people will email me, and I want this to be very clear, and they'll say, hey, it's still indefinite. What's going on there? It's not that Keith Raniere is not going to be sentenced. It's really not that unusual in general for federal sentencing to be delayed for one reason or another. It does happen. So you add to that these completely unprecedented circumstances of a pandemic, I'm not surprised that it's been delayed as much as it is. He's going to be sentenced. That is going to happen. And it's just a matter of when and what level of a presence will the judge allow in the courtroom.
One other thread to snip here is, since the last time we did an installment of this podcast, Raniere was defeated, turned aside by the judge in his request for all of his accusers to be named publicly. The judge basically told him to go pound sand, albeit in far more legalistic fashion.
Yeah, Keith Raniere had actually wanted to, he wanted them all to be identified. The judge, this was a very controversial part of the trial, because if you remember, some of the key witnesses who testified against Raniere were former members of DAS, that's the master slave group, and they were referred to in court by their first name. They were not referred to by their full names. And the defense argued very much unsuccessfully about this, that this was not right. You know, a person has a right to know their accuser, among other arguments. And they lost that fight. And Raniere has done that same argument after his conviction to try to say, look, these people should be identified. They also tried to get two of the people, there were two witnesses against Raniere who, according to the defense team, lied during their testimony. He claimed, this is the attorney for Raniere, claimed that they both lied about their intentions to sue. There's this big civil suit against Raniere. And according to Mark Agnifilo and the defense for Raniere, those two witnesses for the government were not truthful about their plans to sue. And they said, look, you know, you said you weren't going to sue. You had no intentions to sue. And here you are suing. That was the argument they put forward, and that
did not carry water with the judge.
And I think most observers looked at it as, wow, that if that's the best argument you have, well, you know, that's not particularly strong. And that's not to criticize the defense for Raniere. It was a very tough case, I think, for them when you have a defendant who's literally, he's tape recorded everything. Because of the way he operated, left a huge trail for everyone to see, videos, tape recordings. You have him denying he was part of DAS, and then you have a crystal clear tape recording of him talking to Allison Mack, telling him what the members of DAS should say when they're being physically branded. That's pretty damning evidence.
Yeah. We should note in closing that you did reach out to Mark Agnifilo and Paul Derenessian, who are Raniere's two attorneys, and they both declined comment on the Brooklyn dance rallies for Kay Rose. So, Rob, listen, I really appreciate your taking the time. It was a fascinating story, and I know you're going to continue to follow a yarn that continues to get weirder and weirder just when we think it is growing more sane. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
Oh, hi, this is Casey again with an addendum. Just after Rob and I taped this conversation on Wednesday afternoon, in the evening, a press release was put up on a website called wearetheforgottenones.org, in which the organizers of the dance events that we were just discussing acknowledged that, in fact, they began as tributes to their friend Keith Raniere, who has been detained there since April 2018, but goes on to say that they have grown to become tributes to all who are incarcerated at the facility. So if it was ever a mystery who this group was, that definitely put it to rest. Anyway, that's all. Thanks very much for listening. And please remember that the Times Union's coverage of NXIVM, as well as all of our other important watchdog reporting, is supported by our subscribers. If you are not one, please consider becoming one today. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.